Hi, welcome to MediatorPodcast.com, a podcast and video series about mediation, negotiation, and collaboration. My name is Melissa Gregg, and I'm a valuation expert and divorce financial mediator in St. Louis, Missouri. I specialize in family law and partner disputes, but today we're speaking with Erin Levine. She's the CEO and founder of Hello Divorce, and if you haven't heard about it, you'll want to know. It's an online alternative to traditional divorce. So after 16 years as a divorce attorney, Erin understood how broken, toxic, wildly inefficient, and unreasonably expensive the family law system is. So she set out to revolutionize how consumers interact with the law and provide a kinder, easier, and cheaper pathway to divorce. Welcome, Erin. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Melissa.
Well, this is so awesome. You know, we have been, obviously, we're on a mediator podcast. So, you know, we tend to gear towards alternative dispute resolution. But you were a divorce attorney for 16 years, and I've been doing this for 20 plus years, and you're now probably beyond the 20 as well.
Yep.
But like, what it, you know, and we both know there's some toxicity and some inefficiencies in the court system, but what really kind of pushed you to take a leap to do something completely different? And do you think you're alone in some of that thought process?
Judging by the number of lawyers who have taken the leap to join us on the platform, I definitely don't think we are alone. But it was a very big leap, and it was really scary. I had spent over a decade building my own law practice in the Bay Area, in the San Francisco Bay Area. And we had grown pretty large for a family law firm. We had 13 lawyers at one point and had become pretty well known as the go-to firm. If you had a highly contested divorce, we did a ton of litigation. And at a certain point, it just stopped comporting with my conscience. It got to this point where we started to look at each other in the law firm, and we realized that the more we won, the more really we were destroying a family. One person might win, but what was that doing to the entire family dynamic? And so I took a step back and we started to do some things internally. We were pretty well intentioned, at least I'd like to think so, in our firm. We started doing some volunteering in the courthouse for people who couldn't necessarily afford a lawyer. We even won a congressional award for all the volunteering we did. We started to implement a lot more technology in our law firm to make the legal process more transparent so people felt a little bit more in control of the process. But we kept coming back to the same issue, which was this zero-sum game. You either win or you lose. And if you win that extra $20 a month in child support, or you win that extra day of child custody a month, does that really meet your goal? Does that really get you where you need to go post-divorce? And the answer always came back as a no. And so that started us down, me in particular, a soul-searching journey of what comes next? Where do we go from here? And ultimately, that journey led to founding a whole other company.
Well, and that's why we named this podcast From Court to .com, and how, you know, basically how this online divorce platform is changing the industry. Because I think that a lot of us who have been in the divorce industry are not, we're not seeing the benefits for the couple, which is the consumer, which is the clients, you know, and they're, you know, and in a divorce, both sides are paying different lawyers, different, professionals, different valuation people, right? And it's all coming out of that same pot of money that I don't think people totally understand. So like what people really want is a more efficient way of getting through this process, because why should they have to pay 10 different, individuals or all of these people to fight over things and then get specialists to fight over certain things. You know, I think that that's what we were started seeing. But like, what do you think some of the limitations in the current divorce system are? You know, because I think people have a perception of what happens on TV, or they're just like, I'm going to go file for divorce. And that's not the case. We are in different states. And you can also talk about maybe the differences of, you know, the different states as well. But you'll probably be talking from your knowledge of California.
Correct. Well, I am a California attorney. However, our platform offers financial and other services nationwide. And we offer divorce in about 58% of the country. So we are able to help many, many people, millions of people nationwide, which is really an incredible thing to be able to do at this point. But I think the biggest issue with what we call the broken divorce system, this $50 billion divorce court industry, is that the assumption that everybody should be routed through this adversarial litigation sort of style of divorce, when in reality, most people don't need to litigate at all and probably shouldn't. Would you agree with that?
Well, it's interesting because I read a statistic, and I think it came out of like a collaborative divorce group that said 85% of people who file for divorce never hire an attorney or a professional and just kind of try to get through it on their own. And obviously the legal system for divorce was created to be a barricade to kind of keep you out and then to tell you the rules of how you're going to operate. And from a financial aspect, that's been difficult because they didn't, you know, the court doesn't understand the financial implications of a divorce. So I think that was the rub. Yeah.
Here's what I saw. Here's exactly what I saw. When I first decided to found Hello Divorce, I did a ton of research. In fact, I started with a design sprint where we interviewed hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people who had just completed their divorce or were in the divorce process to really get a sense of what the experience was like, both people that were represented and often people who were walking through the divorce process or who had walked through the divorce process on their own. And here's what we found. So first off, we know the statistic. You are right. 80% of people do not have access to a lawyer going through the divorce process. When you don't have access to legal or financial help and you have such significant implications to your life, that is scary. And when you are scared and when you have so much at stake, we often feel irrational, we often get angry, and we're thrown into a system that ramps up that conflict instead of helps to sort it out, which is why often a lot of divorces get super messy. The only way to really sort out conflict when you don't have the proper legal help or financial help is often to fight it out or battle it out in court. And so we really set out to help people determine right from the start, what are some of their divorce goals? If their goals are to, you know, get revenge, to spend as much money as they possibly can to punish their spouse, then they probably aren't a good candidate for a collaborative divorce, a mediated divorce, or a divorce with Hello Divorce. But what we've found is that is a very, very, very rare circumstance. We see it on TV, we see it in movies, but I see it in probably one out of every 500 to 1,000 people that reach out, at least to our platform. It's very, very, very rare circumstance. So how you approach your divorce really sets the stage for how that divorce will go. And we have to provide the resources for people to be able to step outside that litigation, that adversarial system, so that they can walk through a process that isn't so messy, get the help they need, and resolve things fairly, instead of spending, you know, on average $15,000-$20,000 per person on a lawyer.
Well, and I think that a lot of times when people go down this process to get divorced, you know, they hire an attorney, they assume the attorney is going to look out for them and kind of walk them through the process. And they don't realize that there could be other professionals that have to get involved, or there's complications. And I think that one of the things that people could understand is when you go into the litigation process or you hire an attorney, you are kind of putting them in the driver's seat. And a lot of times they're going to just drive the car and they're really not going to ask you about anything additionally because they got this, right? And I think that the 80% of people are saying, hey, you know what, we're going to figure out another way because that seems really expensive. You know, we might just have a house, we might have a retirement plan, we might, it's not that complicated. Yet the house is, you know, a big issue in a divorce. So I think that some of like the, you know, as a professional in this divorce space, current divorce trends that I'm seeing are people advocating more for themselves and seeking solutions that may not, you know, like are not just only cost effective, but allow them to be in control a little bit. You know, like, I know that you think that this is important, attorney, but like, I'm really concerned about this over here. And we know in the space, sometimes the attorney would be like, I don't care what you're concerned about. Right. So right. What do you see as some of the trends as, you know, like, as you've done your research, more people going into this space, you know, is mediation becoming more effective? Is it more pro se? Is it, you know, do you think the future is this online, you know, filing of your divorce in the particular states? And maybe talk about the difficulty because we have states that are all different. So when you say you're in half of those states, that's a really big deal because they all have different rules. So it's a lot going on, but what do you see happening?
Those are a lot of big questions. Let me see where I can start. Okay. So, I think that, well, definitely what we are seeing is exactly what you said, is people are taking more control of their divorce. The word is out, that if you hand over your entire divorce to a lawyer, you are going to spend thousands and thousands of dollars and you might not get the result that you want. That is certainly the case. And we're seeing more and more people who definitely, or who maybe even could afford a lawyer, but are choosing to either not go the route of lawyering up in the traditional sense, or hiring them either a local lawyer or a lawyer through our platform in a limited scope sense, just simply to review their paperwork before they sign it and have the judge enter it in as an enforceable agreement, or maybe to give them some help along the way, some negotiation strategy or some advice, but they aren't necessarily relying on a lawyer to advocate on their behalf or to set their goals. We're also seeing the trend, and I think you were alluding to this, of people not necessarily going to lawyers for financial advice, which, like, thank goodness, right? It's about time. I definitely didn't go to law school because I'm amazing at math. And it always was so shocking to me that lawyers, even well-intentioned ones, have been so involved in talking through settlement options when you have a complicated financial estate. The bottom line is that that should be left to a financial professional who can really help maximize the money in both spouses' pockets, who can think about how do we account for short-term money matters and also think about long-term financial resiliency, especially when it comes to the fact that we have a major post-divorce financial inequality issue with men and women. Not that men don't suffer after divorce, they do. There is always going to be an issue when you take one household and you split it into two post-divorce. But statistically, women, you know, household income dropped by 41% post-divorce, which is massively, significantly more than men. And we, with an excellent, a well-thought-out financial strategy, we can really start to build their estates again if we're working with a financial planner and professional. And so I'm definitely seeing that. Some of the interesting and I would say more fun and creative ways that people are new trends that we're seeing on our platform are terms that people are creating in their agreements, like, well, definitely around their pets. So it's really hard for me to imagine sharing my pet post-divorce. I could see all sorts of ways that that could be problematic. But we're seeing, especially when people have children, that they're creating terms where the pets follow the kids to each parent's house. But even where there's no children, we're seeing terms like they're calling parenting terms, PAW, or pedimony terms to share in expenses, like vet care and custody, since many states now are not necessarily calling pets property anymore, but they're actually allowing for pet custody terms. We're seeing lots of creative terms now around nesting for co-parenting. We've always seen that before, but now we're seeing really interesting ways in light of how expensive it is to, you know, live. We're seeing like people put RVs in their backyards so that instead of getting two apartments where you're switching off, like, you know, it, like very, very creative living arrangements. And then we're seeing lots of non-disclosure agreements. So what I mean by that are these agreements where spouses are telling each other that they will not disclose to any third party things that they have told each other about their mental health, or maybe about their sexuality, or videos that they might have filmed in the bedroom, that they will keep all of that private. So these are all things that I never would have anticipated. It's nothing that you would have seen in litigation, but because we're seeing more divorces out of court and on our platform, we're really getting a chance to see a lot more creativity in people's agreements.
Well, and I think you're also piggyback on all of that is you're seeing more post-nuptial agreements where people are staying married essentially because it's better for tax purposes. It's better for, you know, if they have a family health business, they can still be an employee or get, you know, insurance and things like that. Like we've seen so many ways that people have kind of gone around the court, but sometimes are not getting divorced because of the difficulty. Now, one concept when you were talking at the beginning that I talk about is that I think that when somebody goes to an attorney at the very beginning and they start filling out those forms, like your income and expenses and your property statement, and they start doing these things for like alimony and child support or maintenance issues, it people are like, well, you're doing money. Like you're looking at my bank statements. You're, you know, putting those onto this spreadsheet. You know, to me, it looks like you're doing financial. And I think that made some attorneys get very comfortable with taking it a little, some steps further. Like, well, I'll tax affect the retirement plan. I'll just layer on this, you know, like, and sometimes that is too far. But let's talk a little bit about, you know, does that confuse the consumer in, and do you think that attorneys kind of gatekeep a little bit so that they can keep control of the case? Or what do you think the dynamic is in that situation where, you know, the attorney might step a little bit too far out of line to keep control of the case?
Yeah, I think that lawyers are mentored and taught that they have one objective, and it is to win. It's to get the best result under the circumstances. And that result is, and by best, I mean, get the, you know, best legal result under the circumstances. And as mm-hmm. we know, sometimes the best legal result isn't what's best for the human or the family. And that is, you know, often really, really problematic. And that there's also a lot of liability that's on the lawyer. And so, you know, to their credit, like, it's scary to open up the case to anyone else because they have to think about, you know, if that person makes a mistake, or if that person, if the client doesn't like that person or has a bad experience with that person, how might it affect the case or that lawyer's reputation. And also, lawyers, aside from being really risk adverse, are creatures of habit. And they also have run their cases the same way for hundreds of years and had a golden goose of a revenue stream. So why would they change? Right. Really, like, why would they change? No one until now has really been pushed to change. But that's all starting to be different, right? Like, consumers are asking and requesting for more. So in the past, consumers didn't know about, and you might fight me on this, you might think I'm wrong, but at least from my perspective, most consumers didn't know that you could, for example, hire a certified divorce financial analyst on their own. They thought that either they didn't exist, that it wasn't a thing, or in order to do it, you had to hire one through a lawyer. And so one of the things that we've tried to do, and it's hard, it's very difficult to educate consumers on all the different professionals and why you might want different ones for different things, and how it actually is likely to keep your costs down, not increase them. But one of the things we've been able to do is offer a platform where you can access the type of professional you need in the moment for the issue that you have. And directly, you don't need to go through a lawyer if you have an issue around valuing your retirement. That makes absolutely no sense to do that. Now, if you value your retirement and you find that your interest is $1 million and your spouse says you get nothing, then right. maybe at that point, it might make sense. If your spouse won't go to mediation and you can't get any him or her to budge at all, it might make sense at that point to consult a lawyer. But that, again, that doesn't happen very often.
Well, and from the couple standpoint, that, you know, like, one person goes and hires an attorney and that's a $5,000 retainer. And then the other person hires an attorney and that's a $5,000 retainer. And then they both say, well, you got some financial issues, so you go hire a financial person. That's a $5,000 retainer. Well, I'm going to go hire a so we're $20,000 in, and everybody is just like taking a look at documents,
right?
They're just putting together some stuff for the litigation. And I've also seen some people move into mediation, which has a lot less rules, like almost no rules per se, but. And that protects, you know, like, they're trying to use that as protection of, like, well, the clients agreed to this, you know. So I mean, I think that everything that you say is absolutely what's happening in there. But when it comes down to it, the other thing that changed recently was we not only had a pandemic, but AI has gone crazy, We're doing everything technology. I'm not sure that my children know how to read or write, but they certainly know how to talk to text, order food, get it paid through some method on their phone, and have it delivered without us actually knowing. So, you know, everything is changing, and we're in this older kind of situation of divorce world that you said everybody's been operating the same way for so long. And now that things are changing, or technology could help you do it quicker, and you can't, you really, you know, like a lot of things are going fixed fee, which I encourage my clients to find people that will like say, I'll charge you this for this, because then you really know what you're getting. But what motivated you to, because this is different. This isn't just like, oh, I'm going to provide a different service, right? This is you going in and combining technology and divorce, and then you're creating Hello Divorce, which we still need to know a little bit more about. But like, what made you start to think that there could be an efficiency from a technology standpoint? And like, how did you, because you got investors, you got rounds of funding, you know, like this is a serious like game changer for, you know, the divorce industry. Like, how did you get to that point that you knew that you could combine these, right?
Well, it was by necessity. I mean, we looked at the biggest concerns that consumers had, and we looked at how to solve those, and we looked at the average price tag. Like, I am not exaggerating. The average price tag for a divorce lawyer is $15,000 to $20,000, depending on what state you live in. And that assumes that you don't have children. It is so expensive. And so we had the issue of A, no one being able to afford a divorce lawyer, and B, the fact that nobody understood how much it would cost, what they were looking at. And, you know, they, you know, how could we had to figure out a way that we could cut down on costs, but most importantly, honestly, how could we reduce people's overwhelm, shame, and fear so that they would be in the right frame of mind to make decisions that best support the life that they are creating and not get stuck in the past that they're leaving behind, right? And in order to do that, it takes technology. It really does. It takes breaking down the system as we know it and rebuilding it from the ground up. So let me give you an example. An example is if you went to most states and you pulled the forms, most states have forms that you can pull and try to do the divorce yourself online. And most of those states have, let's say, 20 to 30 forms. And you have to not only complete them, but you have to file them correctly at the correct intervals. You have to deliver them to your spouse at the right time, in the right way. And if you were to do that, some of those first forms require you to know your spouse's financials and to complete them almost immediately. Mm-hmm. Now, that is the number one source of stress for over 90% of our customers. And here's why. It's not just filling out those forms and thinking about finances. It's the shame around, I should know this information and I don't. And so the law says you should start with finances, but we don't, because people aren't ready for that. They're just not ready. We say, you know what? Let's start with something you can be successful with so that you have a win, and both you and your spouse, if your spouse is willing to start on the platform as well, can feel positive that you're taking a good step towards your next chapter. So really, like, in order to do that and in order to do it effectively and in order to build it at scale, I knew we were going to need technology, and I also knew that I wasn't the one that was going to be able to build that. So we were going to need some investor money to be able to accomplish it. And well, yeah.
And I think the best thing that happened during the pandemic was because we still had to figure out how to operate, we also had to figure out how to do some technology, right?
Yes.
And so the court also had to do technology. You also started to see court cases going more online and having access online, you know, like in the past 10 years, everything has advanced and it was forced to advance because I don't know if it would be as possible this soon if everybody didn't have to do that 5 year. I feel like we had to 5 year escalate in a 6 month period, you know? So in essence though, what people are trying, it is so difficult to get through some of the pro se. I mean, we've created training to help somebody through it. It is still so difficult because it's still in legalese. And just because we look at something, mm-hmm. we're like, oh yeah, you just take that number from the tax return, place it on here. It's no big deal. Everybody else is like reading it five times, thinking, what does they mean by income? I've never heard this. Is it gross adjusted income? Like it says different words on the tax return, you know, things like that. But in essence though, what is Hello Divorce? And how are you working with mediators and attorneys, or is it really working directly with the clients? You know, like talk to us a little bit more about what your platform does, because I think everybody's like, okay, well, what is it? You know, do we just enter all of our data and then it files it to the state, or is there something that's a little bit deeper than that? Right?
Got it. Yes. Okay. Well, we support both. And what Hello Divorce is a platform that combines personalized, compassionate, like empathetic support from real humans, not bots, along with expert advice when you need it from financial professionals, mediators, and lawyers, plus easy to use digital tools to help you through your entire divorce start to finish. So to make it easier, kinder, and more affordable, just like you stated in the intro. So it's kind of like a divorce management platform, meaning everything that you could possibly need for your divorce. So everything from the legal to the financial, even if you're trying to figure out what it is that you're going to do with your home. So our core product is the legal piece, which I'll get to in a moment. But one of the most popular products outside of legal is our home split, our three-step solution that helps spouses to understand what equity they have in their home and whether or not they could potentially afford to keep the home. And if so, what their options are, everything from a refinance to a sale leaseback, a HELOC, what might they qualify for, and how to best effectuate that option. So that supports our customers, but also helps to support our mediators and our financial advisors and our lawyers when they're trying to find something that might work for their customers as well. Now, as far as our core product, our legal product, how it works is customers choose a plan and they can start with or without their spouse. To be honest, most people start without their spouse because there's usually like a doer spouse, a spouse that kind of wants to get going.
Motivated.
Not yep. necessarily the spouse who wanted the divorce, but someone who's like more this sort of take charge, let me get the paperwork done. Now, plans range from a software-only plan, which is a $400 flat fee, all the way up through a $3,800 flat fee, which includes 5 hours of mediation. But the most popular plan is the Pro plan. And what that is access to software, think like a TurboTax, that helps you with all the forms you need to complete for your state in three separate steps. And then it brings in a skilled account coordinator, who's like your project manager, who files those forms, coordinates with your spouse, gets your signature. And then to the extent that you need additional services along the way, let's say you run into a tough issue, a financial issue, or the two of you are having trouble coming to an agreement, that account coordinator helps you navigate the platform to access an a la carte service with a mediator, a financial professional, or a lawyer.
Well, and I think that that is really a smart system because, you know, mediation, mediation is kind of a newer concept, right? And so even the professionals in mediation are kind of trying to do, you know, get better at it and things like this. Mm-hmm. But mediation is best when you're prepared, when you have your financials together, when you know, yes, can I stay in the house? Can I, you know, so like your platform in my mind helps people get all of these pieces, right? So then they can sit there and they have all the pieces of the puzzle. And then they say, do I want an apple or an orange? You know, do I like red or do I like blue? Do I like, you know, the china or the silverware? It allows them to have the rationalness of the discussion with maybe their spouse or with other attorneys if they get involved. But a lot of times I think that even if they have communication and relationship issues, it's worth it enough for them, because you say $15,000 for an attorney. That is the one attorney. And that is very, like the attorneys and the cases that we do, you're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars for all of the people. And it could take a year or 2 years to get through this process. And so, you know, if that's what is out there, and there's this wide scheme, like there's wide scheme of like, you really need to go to court, or you have some issues that need to be heard, addiction, abuse, you know, there's traumatic situations. But like for the 80% of other people, they're just like, hey, we just need to figure out these kids, these dogs, and this house. You know, what else would you say? Like, what is your typical client profile? So if somebody's like listening to this, not only as an advisor, because I think the advisors, us as mediators and lawyers and business owners, like we don't know, you know, like in the past, nobody's like, well, you have to go through this process, right? What is a typical client profile that would come to you? And, you know, like, do I have to have a certain amount of, is it money related or is it like complexity related? Or, you know, like tell me a little bit more of like, if I were in this situation and I would be like, yeah, that's me. I need this service because I don't have to be in California. I can be in some of these other states. So that's an easy win right now. But what else would be like your typical situation? Give me an example maybe too.
So it would be a customer, a potential customer who either already has an agreement or expects that they will likely be able to come to one if they have help. So it's where, not that they won't have conflict, but that they and their spouse are trying to avoid litigation. Mm-hmm. We have plenty of people who do use our site ahead of time to do some preparation. If there's something they know they're going to litigate and they want to get some initial legal advice or save money by doing the first draft of their documents. But I say that the people that are most successful are people that may have a complicated estate. In fact, 80% of our customers own shared property, 68% have separate property, 53% have kids. So, there's a lot of people with complex estates, and we have a lot of great professionals to help them, but Hello Divorce is not the solution for people that are expecting this to be a very heavily contested divorce that will be litigated for years and years to come.
Mm-hmm. You guys are kind of like, I think that this is a compliment too, you know, like you're kind of like the final resting. You know, you've done some work, you've put some things together. Maybe it's complex, but you've figured it out, maybe had other advisors, and you're coming to the last train depot to like finish everything. But also you understand that maybe, I don't know, 70 to 90% of stuff can be technologically taken care of. But you guys also provide like, hey, we're gonna make sure you get this finished. even if you have some things going on, and talk a little bit about that, because you know that there's always going to be issues. It's not like a box that you're just like, see you guys later. Good luck with your entering in that software, right?
Yeah. I mean, it surprised me when we first started finishing our first few divorces. We had so many people return to the platform. And I remember as a practicing lawyer, there were very few people that came back to my law firm and said like, hey, Erin, like, great to see you. Would love to hang out again. But it was different with Hello Divorce. We had so many people returning. And so we started to ask people, hey, what's going on? Like, how can we help you? And what we found was that, you know, divorce is such a massive life transition and there's so much going on. It's not just legal, of course, right? Everything is changing from your morning rituals to how you parent and where you live and, you know, finding a new health insurance policy in many ways and learning the whole dating scene again. And there's just so much happening. And so that inspired us to really build and start to build a more robust platform that offers resources beyond, which at this point and for the foreseeable future are free. So I really do encourage anybody, whether they are taking the approach of working with a lawyer, a mediator, whether they're working with us or not, to come to the site and explore under divorce education, you know, our checklists, our post-divorce worksheets, and find what it is that you need. And if there's something that you're looking for that you don't see, then message us, because we're here to serve, and it's what we do best and what we love, and we want to help.
Well, and I think that people are looking for community. People are looking for a lot of different, you know, like we've seen that clients can help each other in group, mentoring programs and things like that, or group program, mm-hmm. you know, like, so there's a lot to be said. And I think that, you know, one of the important things to kind of figure out is what's happening in the future and what are some of the divorce trends that we see in the future. And one of the trends I see is that information is becoming more readily available and easier to get. So, you know, we're not going to be able to be professionals and sit out there and gatekeep some of this, you know, the ways that we do things. But there are also reasons why you would need somebody in that room, you know. And so I think that in some capacity, if you don't have a situation where you need a lot of people in the room to help you figure out things, you know, then you should seek very efficient ways to go about this, because they're available more now than they ever have. You know, like, you didn't have these options. You just either probably stayed married or went through the bad process, right? So what other, maybe I think mediation is a positive trend, you know, like, we don't have to talk mm-hmm. about things, you know, I know divorce is not a great subject to begin with, but it's a choice. You know, what other trends do you see kind of in the future of really change that's happening?
I definitely see the retainer going away, this never ending source of, you know, paying money and not knowing how far it'll get you, how much you'll have to pay. I think that'll go away. Consumers are really pushing back against it. And I definitely see that the mediator, the alternative dispute resolution piece, like you say, become much more important and prominent over the lawyer. What we see is that it's less important for people to know the law and more important for them to know what other people have done in similar situations. Mm-hmm. People are more afraid of being taken advantage of than getting the exact amount that they're entitled to under the law. Mm-hmm. And so if they have access to artificial intelligence tools that help them understand what other people have done in similar situations, or an overview of the law that's reliable, which is definitely coming, if not through tools that we provide, others will. Then I think that the advocacy is going to be less important, and the helping people to get to a resolution is going to be a lot more important. That being said, I don't see humans or professionals going away anytime soon. Divorce is such an emotional, such an important milestone in people's lives. That connection is so important. And having helped like thousands of people and literally hundreds and hundreds of people every month, we see how important that connection is. Like you said, that community. People really need it and want to know that it's there. So I do believe that that expertise will remain necessary, but most importantly, that that connection, that won't go away.
Well, and one thing that I think is going to change is when you go to litigation, there's a concept called discovery. And you're trying to get a whole bunch of documents. And usually when you're getting divorced, you mistrust the person. So you think that there's a ton of stuff going on. And I've found that when we act as a financial mediator, when we come in and we're really just mediating the financials and getting everybody to understand the reality of the numbers, right? If you can create transparency and you can give everybody the documents and you can say, look at the documents, you have some questions, let's get the questions. You have some issues, let's see if there's really, you know, if there's smoke, there's fire. Like, is there any fire or are you creating the smoke? I think that once people have transparency in the financial reality, they're much more willing to say, okay, I only need half of that apple. Right.
Yeah.
And even if it's not one like perfectly even and fair, they're like, I know what I'm giving up and I know what I'm getting. And that's usually enough for them to feel good about the situation. Right.
1,000%. Some of the biggest issues in family law are this lack of transparency. If people are transparent and there are still issues, then there's likely some issue with like mental illness or ego. And sometimes that's not something we can control for. But generally speaking, the biggest issues I saw while I was in practice is people unwilling to provide the information. And when you have a lack of transparency, it is, it creates this distrust. And so it's something we are always encouraging. Once you start with this culture of transparency, it changes the entire flow of the divorce. And we get so much closer to an agreement so much quicker.
Yeah. And that's all people want. Like they all, you know, like people just, like you said, they don't want to walk away and think they got screwed over and that, you know, the other person is going to be talking about like, I mean, that's what I hear at the end. It's like, oh, they got everything and I got nothing, you know, like
right.
All of these kind of, because at the end it is a very, it's not dramatic, but it, you know, it's the end of a phase. It's the end of a chapter and moving into the next. And maybe as we show some information about, you know, Hello Divorce, we can also, you know, just any other, we did a podcast yesterday and we talked about a situation that was a very complex situation, stay-at-home mom with a lot of, you know, kids and house and, you know, businesses and all of these types of things. And the interesting part was that we were like, okay, where does somebody start? If you have maybe an abusive situation or you have a financially controlling situation, you don't have access to money. And that was the hardest thing for all of the professionals to answer, because it's sort of like there may not be a perfectly right place to start, but what is your advice to people that are kind of just sitting here and like, it seems too overwhelming in general, and I'm just not going to do anything. You know, like, what is your advice, your first steps, right? Because it seems like an easy question, but it doesn't feel that easy. Yeah,
it is. It's a tricky one. So I would say two things. So I would first of all start with what her goals are, to really sit down. What does life look like in 5-10 years? Not next year, because as we know, it gets harder before it gets easier. But what does life look like then? Because we can't possibly start working on the divorce until we get a sense for what we want life to look like. Is she living in a similar place? Is it a small town? Is she, is she have a new career? Like, what does it look like? So we can't start managing expectations or life or anything until we start figuring out what that looks like. The second thing is that I would start with what is stressing her out most. So if it's money, if it's kids, then I would, whatever it might be, whatever that piece is, there's one thing almost always that is keeping her up at night more than anything else. So I don't know what that is, but one of it's either with a lawyer or financial advisor. Somebody can give her some guidance on that one piece. And that is where you start. So that you can at least kind of take down some of the fear and stress. And then you can start to put a plan in place.
Oh, that's good advice. I really like that, because I think that the other thing that we normally tell people is to trust your instincts, trust your intuition, trust your gut. And if you're not with the right professionals, you can leave. If you're not with the right situation, if you don't feel like somebody's listening to you and understanding you, which is great, because I think normally they come in with an issue that they want to deal with. And sometimes, you know, the professionals or the attorneys will be like, no, we're going to start over here, because this is how the process works. And they're like, yeah, but I can't even look at all of this until we deal with this, right? And you are so dead on in that. If you don't deal with the thing that's kind of exploding, you're not going to get much further. So that was brilliant. And if they want to get more information, they can go to your website. Do you encourage them to reach out or to have a conversation with you guys at the beginning or anything?
Yes. So you can go right to hellodivorce.com. You can schedule a free 15-minute call to get information, share a little bit about what's on your mind, and see if we have a plan or service that might fit your needs. Or you can chat with us right on the website directly, or just email hello@hellodivorce.com. If you want to reach me, it's Erin, E-R-I-N, @hellodivorce.com. And for some inspiration and tips about divorce, we're really active on Instagram. It's @HelloDivorce.
That's awesome. No, I think that my takeaway from this is that it doesn't really matter where you are in the stage of the divorce. You guys are kind of at the closure, you know, to finish it up in a very efficient way. But you also have all of those pieces that, if you're at the very beginning, can also fill in. So I think that this is where the divorce world is going. I think that we are also creating the same types of process, if you will, like that's more client driven and more couple driven as opposed to system driven. So I appreciate all of your information. And I think there's plenty of other things to talk about in the future, but for now, I think this was very helpful and an amazing resource. And I appreciate you for coming on and telling us about it. So thank you so much, Erin.
Thank you.
This podcast was produced and edited by ellemarketing.com. If you would like to be a guest on mediatorpodcast.com, or if you would like to start your own podcast, head to our website, ellemarketing.com for more info.